I like how y'all did that. I can say that in this crowd, but for a moment I felt like E.F. Hutton. Some of those online are going, who's E.F. Hutton? Is that a new member? You know exactly what's taking place and exactly what's going on. Good morning. Is everybody doing good today? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Everybody's full and all is right with the world, correct? There you go. Well, God has definitely blessed us. He gave us this day. You know what the Word says? The Word says today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we gather today, we're so thankful for so many things. We've observed that through our time of Thanksgiving, which I hope and pray that each and every one of us at some point along the way, amidst the havoc and mayhem and the people that were coming and going, I pray that you had an opportunity just to pause for the moment, to sit back and say, you know what, it's really neat to be in there where there's kids running around the house and destroying things and having an opportunity to be with your kids and just stopped and paused to thank the Lord for the goodness that He has provided in each and every one of our lives. Because we don't just say it as a cliche, but we mean it when we say God is good. And all the time, He really, really is good. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to You once again, we are grateful and we are thankful for this time, these moments that we have to be able to gather together. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to see friends and family as we have gathered in the house of the Lord. And Father, we're also grateful for the many, many blessings that we so often take for granted. Lord, we thank You for being able to gather with family and friends this past week for Thanksgiving. Lord, not just because it was something that we do as a holiday or something that's habitually done, but Lord, to pause and to truly give You thanks for all the wonderful things in our lives. Lord, we know that it's been difficult over the past several years, and for lots of folks, Thanksgiving looked completely different than it ever has before. But Lord, You're still good. You're still on the throne, and You're still taking care of each and every one of us. So today, Lord, as we gather in Your house, we give thanks. Father, we're coming through the Thanksgiving season, and we're heading into the wonderful time of the year when we celebrate the birth of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in all that we do today, help us to pause. Help us to just let the push and shove and the hurried agendas be still for these moments that we might truly, truly hear from You, that we might enjoy these moments in Your house, and that, Lord, as we lift up our voices to You with some familiar songs, some familiar Christmas songs, but, Lord, that they would rather be a praise from our heart to Yours. So, Lord, today, show up in our hearts and lives as only You can do, and we'll praise You for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Just a reminder, I mentioned last week we have a save the date on 12/19, December 19th, in the evening. We're having an evening service, evening of Christmas music, and so you'll be seeing more about that in the church calendar. I don't know if it's on there yet, but so we're doing that. So that's 6 p.m. on 12/19, and we'll look forward to that. And we're opening that up to the community as well. We'll certainly have people there. We'll have refreshments afterwards. Each week we're going to sing a couple of the Christmas carols. I've been encouraged that we want to do that throughout this season, and I love that. So if you will, we're going to start with hymn number 88, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Please stand with me.
Joyful all ye nations round.
86, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Number 213.
Is that the one you have?
I just noticed right the last, and so sorry about that. Well, let's, yeah, no, that's fine. So let's look at 213. Sorry, but now we had a little audible, so that was good. But we talked about that as your license plate last week, Pastor, as audible, so your middle name. So we will glorify.
We will glorify the Lord. As you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. You know, society has really done a number on us. It has conditioned us. And a lot of people would say, well, I can see that in certain areas. And some would say, well, I don't know, you know, so much. But I want us to think for just a moment about the fast pace of things that happen around us. It has pretty much conditioned us and programmed us toward instant gratification. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, what happens is if we get somewhere and we have to wait in line for a little while, we start getting irritable and cranky, don't we? Yeah, we sit back. And here the conversation usually goes a little something like this. What is taking so long? What is the problem up here? They should have this stuff going on. They know it's Black Friday. They should bring all the help in. They should have every cash register open. I think everybody has set and thought in their mind, and you have been in Walmart between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you're like, who's managing this place? There's 97 cash registers and two of them working, right? You've thought that. And you've sat back, and the reason why is because we want to have things now. We want to have that instant gratification sort of thing. Then there's the opposite end of the spectrum. When things happen really, really slowly. And I don't know, I would say most people today are more in tune with wanting things to happen rapidly. We're in this instant society. We want it now. We want it next day air. It needs to be on our door by this time. We track it on our phones till it gets to the door, and then we know when the package is left. We want all this stuff fast. Now, different areas and different lifestyles also bring things like that about. For instance, I know that when I go back home to my lovely little hometown of Hinton, West Virginia, I feel like when we cross into the city limits, life slams on the brakes and then just kind of skids. Because honestly, you don't really realize it until you start to interact with some people and that sort of thing, that you are like that little Fievel mouse from Disney. And they're just like, hey, I came here down here to get this, good to see you. And they're like, sit down, have a cup of coffee, talk for a little while. And then you find yourself kind of like, ugh. Now, some of you all unwound a little bit over Thanksgiving. Wherever you may have been, there was this moment through Thanksgiving that whether it was the tryptophan from the turkey or what have you, that you just went, and life was good. And you probably took a nap or something. It was just, you didn't have the responsibility, all the stuff just crowding in on you. And it was nice, wasn't it? It was kind of nice. You sit back and say, I would like to have that. Well, then there's times when you have to really, really get out there and get with it. Some of your jobs kind of has you in that sort of a mode where you are just hammer down all the time, go, 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 because you've got deadlines to meet. You've got all these things that are taking place. But have you ever noticed that in your life, sometimes God seems to be moving at high speed? There are times when you just see this flurry of activity of what God is doing. And all you do is just buckle up and hang on for the ride. You can see it in every turn, in every moment. It's coming quickly. It's coming so quickly that you can't hardly even identify what's going on other than to say, yeah, that's a God thing. But then there are other times. The times that we don't necessarily like so much. The times when God slows way down. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, when all of a sudden, you know, you are begging for an answer and you're not getting it. All of a sudden you are looking and you're looking at God going, God, the time is ticking. We're running out of time, Lord. What's the matter? And sometimes we start to get antsy with God, don't we? We start to get to the point where we're like, well, God, are you listening? Are you really there? Satan will want us to doubt that God is going to be providential in our lives and in our circumstances, in our situations. Satan will want to tell you that his delay means he's not going to show up.
No, let me give you a tip. God's delay means it's not his time to provide in such a manner, and there's reasons for that. Now, when we look at the Bible as a whole, we find a time where there was this time of silence, and it is between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, there's a 400-year span where everything seemed like it was just on hiatus. I want you to consider what it must have been like to have been living in those days, or even living in the days of the Old Testament. There has been a prophesied Messiah, that Messiah would be coming, and then all of a sudden, you know, nothing's happening. He hadn't shown up. Then even when Jesus did show up, you know, we cross that barrier, even from Old Testament, between the Old and New Testament, there was 400 years of silence. Then when Jesus showed up, his own, who should have recognized him, didn't even know who he was. See, we can get so accustomed to doing stuff. Listen, we can get so accustomed to being religious that we miss out on what God's doing in our lives. We can go through the process. We can go through all the habits. And I'm just going to use that term for today. We can go through the habit of prayer and still not be getting in touch with God. We can go through the habit of arriving in church and still not worship God. We can be doing things because they are habitual to us. There are times in our lives when God is silent, and most of you out there who have followed the Lord for any period of time will understand that, and you go, yeah, I know. Yeah, those silent times are tough for us, particularly because we live in a society that's conditioned us to be so fast-paced. We are not patient. We will quit in a heartbeat. Have you ever noticed that? Well, I've given it so much time. I'm given 2 more minutes and I'm out of here. Pew! 2 minutes later, you're gone. How many things have we missed out that God really wanted to do because we couldn't be patient enough to listen to what it was that God had to say to us? So you know what usually happens when we get into those moments of silence? And there may be some of you today going through the moments of silence. I mean, you are crying out to God, and you're like, am I doing this wrong? What's going on? I don't seem to be hearing from you, God. Are you seem to have me in this holding pattern. Here's one of the first things we do. The first things that we do is we become afraid. We don't like to show that, but we become afraid. We become afraid because we sit back and we listen to what Satan says, and Satan says, I told you God was fake. I told you he wasn't there. What is all this stuff going on? Hey, you have given your life to something that's a farce. And we start to maybe buy into that a little bit. And we're sitting there going, you know, Satan says, well, if God really wanted to take care of you, then why is he leaving you twisted in the wind in this very significant moment in your life? And we begin to consider. And we begin to wonder, okay, God, what's going on? And then we become fearful. We don't like to use that term. We get afraid. Yeah, a lot of people sit back and go, oh, I've never been afraid moment in my life. Yeah, it was funny because people had asked me before, they said, were you ever afraid as a police officer? I said, like every day. I said, but you know, I honestly believe that's what kept me alive. It kept me attentive. It kept me listening to what it is that the Lord was showing me and what the Lord was guiding me. Now, this is going to be completely, you know, counterintuitive to what I just said. Because as we look at Luke's Gospel chapter 1, we're going to pick it up at verse 26. Luke 1, beginning with verse 26, it says, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considering what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement along the way. Lord, may we learn and glean from you today the words that you would have us to know. And Father, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, did you get that part as we get there close to the end of the passages that we were looking at? Notice verse 29. It says, "And when she saw him," this was Mary seeing this angel. "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." It says, and considering what manner it was. Well, if you look up before that, yeah, basically she was afraid. She had some fear in her life. Why? Because all the plans and everything that Mary had been thinking about, all the things that had been considered, were about to, in her life and in her mindset and in her way of thinking, were about to go down the drain. I mean, think about it for a moment. Now, one of the things we have to understand is that Mary is considered to be a teenage young lady. We all know how folks feel about teenagers. Amen? I know what you say. You go, "I love them. They just don't think. They're just not mature. They just don't function the same way that we do. They need some guidance along the way." Here is Mary, a teenage young lady who was a good girl. I mean, she was every parent's delight. That's what you would want in a daughter. How do I know that? Because the word says she found favor with God. And if you find favor with God, you've done something. You've done something right. So that's what you want your daughters to be. You want your daughter to be like Mary. So Mary has goals. Mary has hopes. Mary has dreams. And also, as we read the Bible, there's something we know. We know Mary had a boyfriend. Matter of fact, she had more than a boyfriend. She was engaged or espoused, as the word would say. Now, I always say this, anytime we look at this passage, which it's somewhere along the way, at least is annually, espousement meant something completely different than the way engagement is looked at today. In fact, espousement in that day was a legal contract. I mean, it was almost the same as marriage itself, okay? So, I mean, it had some, engagement had some teeth to it. So Mary's engaged. And now all of a sudden this angel comes and says, "Mary, you are a good girl. You have been, you have found favor with God. And because of that, you're going to have a baby and you're going to call his name Jesus." Now put yourself in Mary's shoes for just a few moments. Whoa. Hold on a minute. I didn't quite sign up for this. Now, think for just a moment. Where would your mind go to start with? Remember, Mary knows the Lord. Mary has found favor with God. She is walking the Christian life in a manner that is representative of the Father. And now she's being told she's going to have a baby. Here's a problem with that. She hadn't known a man at that particular point. How many of us would have sat back and said, "Well, what are people going to think or say at this particular moment?" Think about what Mary must have thought. What are people going to say about me? I have worked hard to maintain a good reputation. People know that I follow the Lord. This, the way I'm going to be viewed is completely counterintuitive to what the Christian life is. People are going to look at me and say, "Look at Mary, that hypocrite. Look at her. She shouldn't be doing that. Look at her. You know, little Miss Goody Two-Shoes finally got hers." And there would probably be some people that would be happy about that. So Mary's pondering these things in her heart and in her mind. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Do you think that there were some people who talked about Mary behind her back? I'll bet you there were. Do you think that there were people who said that Mary's reputation from henceforth didn't mean anything to them because of the position that she was in? Do you think that? Absolutely. See, one of our big problems we have in society today is that we're too busy worrying about what everybody else is thinking and not listening to what God's telling us to do. I'd rather stand in the presence of God and Him say, "Well done," than to have the approval of all of mankind. Because Mary knew she was going to be in a tough situation. Mary knew she was going to be in a tough position. Would that create some fear in your life? Would that cause you to have some second thoughts? Yeah, I know you would, because most of us sit back and say, you know what, I could stand without having to go through this. I could stand without having to be a part of this. There's 10,000 things that I would rather be doing than having to go through this or even try to explain to people what's going on who aren't going to believe me anyway. Well, if you're not going to believe you anyway, why explain? Mary's got some fear. She had a very normal life growing up, being engaged. Yeah, all of a sudden, something entered that peaceful harbor of hers and caused waves. How many of y'all's peaceful harbors had some waves tossed to and fro in it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You weren't expecting that. Sometimes you sit back and say, I didn't even deserve that. Folks, for the last couple of years, everybody's harbor has had some pretty big waves in it, hadn't it? Everybody, and those waves that have come into everybody's harbor has done some sort of damage or erosion to what you knew as the norm. Many have experienced great loss in their harbor to the point where you just kind of tucked under, wondering what's going to happen next. What shoe's going to fall next? What are we going to lose next? What's going to happen next? Don't ask that question, because you're liable to find out. Amen? What you do at that point is you grab a hold of God and you hang on for dear life. I saw a little video the other day that was cracking me up. It was this baby monkey and its mama. You ever seen a baby monkeys and their mamas? They grab a hold of them and they will hold on to them. And I think that mama was a little frustrated with that baby monkey because she kept trying to, you know, get a little bit of space for her own, and that was not happening. That monkey was on her head. That monkey was crawling around on her belly. That monkey was holding on to her leg when she was trying to. Everywhere that mama was going, she was taking them hands and pulling them off. That monkey was as quick as grease light. He'd be right back up on her back, holding on to her around the head. And then if she got him off for just a minute, it wasn't but about a millisecond, he was back on there. Folks, that's the way we need to hold on to God, particularly in the storms that have caused the waves within our harbor. You're going to have to grab a hold of him. You need to hang on. You need to hang on like that little monkey did. Because we don't know what's going to happen next. It's probably not going to go as we think or plan. Think about Mary for just a moment. And it doesn't have anything to do with how your walk has been. Everything that was going to happen in Mary's life was going to make her look like something other than a godly following woman. Let's just say it in that manner. And I'm sure there was some fear. How'd you like to go explain that one to your parents? Mom and Dad, I've got some news. I'm with child. Whoa. You're not to that particular point in your marriage yet. Oh, well, don't worry, it's not Joseph. What? No, wait a minute. No, me and Joseph are still okay. This is someone else's child. What? Mary, be quiet. Everything you say starts to make it look worse. And then it's like, no, the child that I'm going to have is of the Holy Ghost. Can you? I mean, think about it for a minute. Put yourself in her position, trying to explain that. Mom and Dad are like, well, honey, you know we're always going to love you. Where'd you get that story from? I know. You can tell us the truth. I am telling you the truth. Okay, dear, we'll just let it go for now. I mean, look at the complication of that situation. Look at the complication of that relationship. And then trying to explain that to people that you know, including your husband-to-be. Well, we're going to be starting off with the family early, Joseph. What? Oh, by the way, we know. I mean, most of us know the Christmas story. We know the situation with Joseph. Joseph was hurt. Joseph was fearful. Joseph didn't know what was going on until the angel of the Lord appeared to him. So you had to have two extremely trusting teenage young people. I'd be willing to venture that if that happened today, we wouldn't have believed either one of them. Mary or Joseph. We'd have been like, I know what they're saying, but that just doesn't happen. God bless their heart. How many times have we done that when we had no clue what God was up to? There was fear. There was also fear of personal loss. I mentioned just a moment ago that Joseph and Mary had a bunch of hopes and dreams. I can imagine what that must have been like as they planned the wedding. Well, Mary planned the wedding with her mama, and Joseph was out doing whatever Joseph does. But I mean, there was plans and goals and dreams and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, something godly shattered all of that. Did you get the first part of that? Something godly shattered all of that. We tend to want to think that everything that happens to us that we deem bad is ungodly. Again, put yourself in their circumstance. Put yourself in their situation. There was fear of personal loss. When Joseph found out about that instance, there was complete fear of the fact that he thought everything was completely over with. Because remember that passage, and I'm not going to carry you to it, but I'm going to remind you of it, where when it's talking about Joseph, it says, and Joseph, wanting to put her away privately. In other words, remember what I said? I said that espousal or that engagement had some legal teeth to it. Do you realize that just that news of her being with child was enough for her to be stoned to death by law? Ooh, that got a little bit more serious, didn't it? Joseph could have had Mary taken out to the city gates and stoned to death on the spot. But he didn't want to do that. You know why? Because he loved her. It says, Joseph, willing to put her away privately. At that particular point, Joseph doesn't know what's going on, but he loves her enough that he doesn't want to see her die, but he also doesn't plan on marrying her because in some ways he felt like she's been unfaithful to him, because things like that just don't happen. Until Joseph got the visit from the angel, right? And said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do you think that was disappointing to Joseph? I believe it was. Now, no, don't get me wrong. He was obedient, but it was like, it's kind of like, why don't you pick someone else? Could you pick somebody else? We had a lot of dreams and goals. Now, we're going to have a bad reputation. People aren't going to look at us in the same manner. I'm going to have to go around with a pregnant wife and tell them it's not my child. Mary's going to have to go through that shame as well. And how is it that anybody is going to believe this story? I don't even believe it. Oh, by the way, it had never happened before then, the virgin birth, and it hasn't happened since. Okay? So you can see where it would be a little bit tough to believe. How many times is God trying to do something in our life that's going to cause us some disruption? That's going to cost us something? That's going to maybe even make us look bad in the eyes of people? And we're like, oh man, I don't do this. Nah, Lord, pick someone else. This is going to be an awful blow to my plans. Oh, did you get the emphasis? Lord, this is going to be terrible to my plans, my way of doing things. And therein lies a lot of the problem. We all have a selfish side to us, don't we? We all want to do it our way. And God says, no, 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 as a child of mine, we're going to do it my way. Some of you have been in the circumstance before where God has said to you, it is your will against mine, and I will win. And some of you have been drug along the way. Amen? You know what that's like. Just stop. Hey, listen, it's about Him. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about what He wants to use you for in regard to His work and His kingdom's work. Joseph's dreams were shattered. His castles had tumbled. He thought that he would lose Mary. How real those fears are. Think about your family. How many times have you prayed for your family in fear over circumstances and situations? It's interesting to note, too, along the way that Joseph was not afraid of the angel that appeared to him, but he was afraid of the loss. That was what he was afraid of. His whole life had just been turned upside down. Has your life been turned upside down the past couple years? Listen, I don't think that your life's just been turned upside down. Remember when I talked about the snow globe? I think, you know, you look at it and it all looks peaceful and everything, and you pick the snow globe up and you turn it over and you set it out and you see the little things flying. I don't know about your snow globe of life. My snow globe of life hasn't just been turned upside down. I think God picked it up and He went like this real easy, and then He went, ugh. You feel that way? I mean, Rudolph's nose is bouncing around off the glass inside there. It's like, whoa, whoa, what just happened? All of us have experienced that. We've all had some sort of fear. Some of us will fear that we're going to have personal loss, whether it's the loss of money, whether it's the loss of our home, whether it's the loss of our reputation or who we are. We fear those things when we look at the situations. How many times do those situations carry us back to personal things? Joseph would not lose Mary, and he would gain even more than he could ever have imagined. Let me make that statement to you as well. When you follow and are obedient to what God has called you to do, you're not going to lose. You're going to turn up on the better side of something even greater than you ever thought. Some people have a fear of meeting God. Yeah, I think about the shepherds as we're talking about the Christmas story over in Luke's Gospel. Let me just carry you there. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, says this. It says, "And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" There it is again. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now we know that, and we know what took place. We know that what happened after that point was that that the angel said this. They said, "We must go and see this Jesus." They went on a journey. Their journey was to go and find the newborn Savior. Now, the interesting part about it is there are so many people who are afraid to meet the Lord. Now, you know, when I say that there are so many people that are a lot of people afraid to meet the Lord, I can't tell you in my ministry how many people who have said, "I am afraid of dying." And we've sat down and we've had talks before, and I'm like, "What is it that you're fearful of?" And most people, it doesn't really have anything to do with being afraid to see the Lord. It's the selfish aspects of who we are. Well, you know, I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave this. I'm afraid for what's going on there, you know, or I'm afraid it's going to hurt. And I'm like, well, you know, if you're going to jump out in front of a bus, you might have a valid thought. But listen, fear not. The Lord tells us not to fear. Are we not striving today? I'm going to take a Roy poll. How many of us in here are looking forward to the day when we get to see Jesus face to face, where there's no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more tears, and the place that He has prepared for us? Is that not what we're striving for here? Let me see some hands. Okay, death is the doorway, one doorway to that. We're either waiting on death or the rapture. And so far, there's been more people who have gone into His presence by way of death than the rapture because it hadn't occurred yet. So death is to usher in a new chapter in our eternal life, and that is to be able to see Jesus. I don't know about you. I want to see the guy I've been preaching about my whole life. I want to see the guy I've been reading about my whole life. We should be excited to see Jesus. I know there's fear. We can't help it at times. But I'll tell you, I have been at the bedside of those who have been in the process of going to see the Lord, and I have seen the greatest peace, the greatest calm ever in their life when they said, in just a few moments, I'm going to see Lord Jesus, come now, come quickly. Because this life that we're investing so much into is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away. Now, I want you to get that concept today. Most of us probably over this past weekend got to see something heated up on the stove, and you saw the little steam coming off of the pot or the pressure cooker or whatever it may have been. Now, I want you to think about it for just a moment. That wisp of steam that went and it was gone. That is the length of our life compared to eternity. So if we're only going to be here that long, why not lay up our treasures in the place where we will spend all of eternity that we can't even begin to count or number? I don't know about you. I want to see Jesus. Now, there were times in my life when I was like, Lord, could you hold off for a little while? Because I'd like to get married and have a family and do all that. Yeah, we all do that in a selfish kind of way. You think God adjusted His calendar based on me? No. But yet, that was part of His blessing in my life. What are we afraid of? Listen, when you are in the harbor being tossed to and fro by the circumstances and situations of life, we need to understand that God knows everything. When it looks like it's going to be devastating to us, God still has a plan, and the plan is to prosper you, not to hurt you. Yep, it might make you look bad. You might not want to do it. You might get made fun of. You might get called names. I asked you before, I said, you think Mary got called names? She probably got called names, probably not to her face. But as she walked by, I could imagine what it was like. That's the one I was telling you about. She and Joseph. I am surprised he's still with her. He's crazy. She was unfaithful. When the exact opposite was true, the exact opposite, what she walked through, what Joseph walked through in obedience, let's not fear the circumstances that are in our presence. Last time I checked, God can change anything like that. I mean, I need us to remember that God is the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one that God took a handful of dirt and created a complex individual. The same God that took a rib out of man and created woman. The same God who allowed the sun to shine this morning for the planet to turn on its axis and everything to revolve around so that we have gravity here and we're not floating around. That's God. And here's the cool part. He knows me by name. He knows Brad by name. He knows Mark by name. He knows Kelly by name and Jonathan by name. You know, when I say Lord, he goes, Roy. Isn't that cool? Don't you like it when people use your name? You ever had that? You know, somebody says, well, yes, Roy, how can I help you? It just makes you feel good. God knows my name. When I said, Lord, I need all the help I can get this morning to speak on your behalf, he goes, I got this, Roy. I've often pointed this out along the way, that in the biblical passage of the rich man and Lazarus, have you ever noticed that that's the way that is? You got the rich man and you have Lazarus. Why didn't he call the rich man, you know, Artie or Louie or Harry or Jonathan or whatever? You know why he didn't call him by name? Because he didn't know him by name. But he knew Lazarus. Lazarus was his own. So you had the rich man who was lost and hellbound, and Lazarus, his child, who was heavenbound. He knows you by name if you know him. My question today is, does he know you by name? Have you trusted him? God wants to take you away from your fears. Trust him, and you will have nothing to fear. Have you given him your life? As we think about the time of coming into Christmas, it is the time that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. When all of a sudden, after 400 years of silence, everything took on a flurry of activity. Yeah, it'd been quiet, and then all of a sudden, yeah, Mary and Joseph get the news that they're going to be with child. Jesus comes onto the scene, and all of a sudden, man, stuff is happening like never before. Maybe in your life, you're in the midst of everything happening really, really quick right now that you can't even sort it out. Don't worry. Hold on like that little monkey for the ride. He'll get you where you need to be. Maybe you're in the middle of the silence and you're wondering where God is. Let me make you a promise. He is right there in the middle of your circumstance if you know him. Do you know him? Well, ask Brad if you guys would come and take your place for our invitation. My question today is, have you trusted Jesus? Have you said, yes, Lord, I believe in your virgin birth, your 33 years of sinless life, the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection that makes eternal life possible? Yes, Father, I believe. Have you said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I need a Savior. Lord, help me. Save my soul. Have you done that? Listen, if not, I'm just asking you to do that right now. Just wherever you are, bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Come into my life and save my soul. And I promise you, if you did that and meant it, then he did. Now, that's just the beginning. Let us know. If you're part of our online audience, please let Dr. Cazito know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you get your journey started. We're not going to bother you. We just want to celebrate with you. If you're here, please let me know in just a few moments at our time of invitation. And maybe you're here today and you have been shipwrecked in your own harbor. Those waves have tossed you to and fro, and you don't know whether you're coming or going. You have been shaky, to say the least. You have come through the last 2 years of this pandemic a lot worse for the wear. You are discouraged. You don't have any idea what's taking place. It has touched every area of your life. And the Lord says, taking your snow globe, and I'm going to shake it a little bit. Because I'm going to get you where I want you to be. A place where you can prosper. A place that is good. And yeah, you know what? Some people might talk about you, like Mary. Some people might think bad of you, like Mary. But who are you more concerned about pleasing? Mankind or God Almighty? I'm going to be with him a lot longer than I'm going to be with anybody else. Right? Let's work on pleasing the Father. Maybe there's some things you need to give over to him today and say, Lord, you know what? I've been roaming around in fear. I have been shell-shocked. My life is just devastated. Listen, when you get to that point, God says, now I can do something with you. Now I can do something special in your life. When you're willing to sit back and say, Lord, here I am. You got all of me, not just part of me. You got all of me. Whatever's left, you might sweep it up in a dustpan, but here it is. Did you get that? Might sweep it up in a dustpan. Well, God created man from dust of the earth, didn't he? Man, what can he do in your life? What do we need to give to Him? What do we need to refocus as we head in to the Christmas season? If you need the altar, it is here. If you need me, I am here. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, you do business with God based on what He's led you to do. I'm just going to ask Brad if he would do the chorus with us again as our ushers make their way down to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. You come as we sing our chorus. Father, as we come to you right now in these moments, we're so grateful for the provision that you have provided for each and every one of us. Lord, the many blessings we give you thanks that we take for granted on a daily basis. But Father, we're thankful that you have cared for us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. So Father, as we come to this time where we're faithful to give back to you that which you have so richly blessed us with, may we truly be found faithful in doing so. And then, Lord, we ask for wisdom and guidance to be the best stewards that we can of what is truly yours. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Last week, the worship team introduced the new song, He Knows My Name. We're going to sing it again today. Here is an offertory. The words are on the screen. So if you feel like you learned it last week, we'll sing this today. All right, He Knows My Name.
Special. He knows my name. It's like what we were talking about. out of all the, all the people and places in the world, the Lord knows who I am and He knows where I am right in this moment. What a privilege that is. Real quickly, before we before we head out, birthdays for this week. Today is Kay Harrell's birthday, right? Okay, I'm just making sure. Yeah, Kay's birthday's today, as well as Joanne English. Yeah, she came down the road today and said, "Well, goodness gracious, I turned 26 today, right?" What a blessed privilege it is. Be sure to celebrate with these two young ladies today. This coming Saturday is Jade Weaver's birthday. If you're a card sender, be sure to send a card and let them know that that we love them and appreciate everything about them. Don't have any anniversaries for this week. Now, one of the things I want to do before we close out is because we have had a tradition around Central Baptist Church for years and years, and although the pandemic has kind of messed that up, it's been one of the waves in the harbor of what Central Baptist Church is and who we are. But you know what? We're gonna make sure that it doesn't slip away from us. So usually we had the hanging of the greens, and we would take the time and the opportunity to decorate the facility. We would decorate the tree. And one of the things that was so special to me, and I know our church as well, is that we would decorate the tree as a church. So you will notice that up here on the front, there are the baskets of the ornaments, and some of our great, gracious, and beautiful young ladies of our church are going to hold these baskets for you. But what we're going to do is we're going to decorate our Christmas tree this morning, and then what's going to happen is after you take the opportunity to place an ornament on the tree, so when I let you know, you all come up, get an ornament, place it on the tree, just like for those of you who've been here, like we always had during Hanging of the Greens. Make your way back to your seat, and then as soon as we get done, I'll dismiss us in a word of prayer. I think Ernie's got some Christmas music for us. So as the church family of Central Baptist Church, would you come and decorate our tree this morning?
Oh, come, O ye faithful, Lord, for all.
come together and as a family decorate our Central Baptist Church family Christmas tree. So as you look at as you look at that, you think about it as you come and go through this this Christmas season. Each of those ornaments represents somebody that's very special in our church family, as well as each and every family that's part of what makes up this this body called Central Baptist Church. So I want to encourage you, as you do that, look at that tree. Thank God for all the wonderful, wonderful people that He has placed in our lives. And we look forward to celebrating Christmas together as we go forward. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, we're so thankful that you have not caused us to have the spirit of fear, but Lord, of a sound mind. Help us to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, as we enter into this Christmas season, help us to truly be thankful, Father, for examples that we get to see, such as Joseph and Mary. And Lord, you gave them, gave us their stories so that we might see how our lives can compare along the way. But Lord, they did so much better as far as the way they acted and reacted than most of us do, and all of us must admit that. So help us, Father, to draw close to you, not only through the Christmas season, but each and every day of our lives. May this be a very, very special month that we're coming into for our church, for our families, and for us individually. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.